Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Jonathan Horne's new book, The Man Who Would Not Be Washington, Robert E. Lee's Civil War and His Decision That Changed American History, is a biography of Robert E. Lee that reveals how an Army officer bound by marriage to George Washington's family went to war against Washington's crowning achievement, the Union. Again, the name of the book is The Man Who Would Not Be Washington. Jonathan Horne is the author. He is a former White House presidential speechwriter. He has appeared as a commentator on MSNBC and the BBC, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Very nice to have you with us. We are dedicating this program and talking about the Civil War and looking at many different facets and chapters. I'm interested in how you came to look at Robert E. Lee, especially in this very particular way.
Well, I actually grew up along the Potomac River, not very far from Washington, D.C., and actually, you don't think about Robert E. Lee in the Potomac River necessarily, but Lee grew up on the Potomac River as well. He grew up downriver from Washington, D.C. in Westmoreland County, Virginia. That's where he was born. Then he actually spent his childhood in Alexandria, what is now Alexandria, Virginia, but back then was part of the District of Columbia. And of course, he fought some of his most famous battles along the Potomac River. Now, if you travel along the Potomac, you also find lots of reminders, of course, of George Washington, because George Washington's Mount Vernon Plantation, there's Alexandria, which was very much George Washington's hometown, and then, of course, there's the city of Washington. So there's reminders of these two men, and I became very interested in what united them and what divided them.
All right, so let's start with what united them, the connections which are familial.
They are very much familial, and so we start with Robert E. Lee's dad, who was a man named Henry Lighthorse Harry Lee. And he's most famous because he was George Washington's most famous eulogist, the man who wrote the words, first in war, first in peace, and first in the hearts of his countrymen. And those are still the words that we most associate with George Washington today. But what actually most connected Robert E. Lee to George Washington's legacy is what happened on June 30th, 1831. And that's when Robert E. Lee married the daughter of George Washington's adopted son.
And what do we know about the connection and the relationship between the two men?
Well, they never lived at the same time.
Right.
But people drew great significance from these family connections, especially Robert E. Lee's marriage to the daughter of George Washington's adopted son. In fact, the connections were so influential and so meaningful to the country that on the eve of the Civil War, leaders on both sides of the conflict drew tremendous significance, and an emissary from Abraham Lincoln actually asked Lee to come to Washington and said, "Will you lead the main Union army to crush secession?" And he said that the country looked to Lee as the representative of the Washington family. So that just gives you an idea of how meaningful these connections were.
So much of the book, and it's fascinating, really looks at this inner turmoil behind Lee's decision to take on the Union. And it's a fascinating look as to what went into that. And my ultimate question is, what surprised you? In what we know about the story so readily, what surprised you about the decision?
So Robert E. Lee actually opposed secession. He thought secession was illegal. And he said this in all of his letters before the Civil War. He also, interestingly enough, is reading a biography of George Washington as the events that we now know as the events leading up to the Civil War are taking place. And as he's reading that biography, he comes to the conclusion that George Washington also would have opposed secession, and George Washington would have mourned the destruction of the Union. But then, of course, he gets this offer to command the main Union army that's being raised, and he turns it down immediately because he feels that he cannot go to war against his native state of Virginia. So for all that he loves the Union, he still feels this duty to follow Virginia into rebellion. And actually, when he makes that decision, he immediately turns down the command, and then he goes and he sees his mentor in the military, who is another Virginian who's going to make the opposite decision and stay with the Union. And that man, Winfield Scott, says to Lee, "Lee, you have made the greatest mistake of your life, but I feared it would be so."
So I guess I'm interested in how present Washington was in Lee's mind during this. Obviously, you're looking in the book of how he took up arms against a union that he knew represented Washington's greatest triumph. So how present do you think that was in his mind? How conscious was he of that?
It was very present in his mind. If you go back and look at his letters during this time period, right before the Civil War, he is writing about what he thinks the Founding Fathers would say about the current state of affairs. And as I mentioned, he's reading this book. And then, of course, he can't also escape the connections that people are imposing on him. I mentioned already that the emissary for Abraham Lincoln appealed to him directly as the representative of the Washington family. But when Lee turns down that command and then shortly afterward resigns his commission in the Union Army, and just 3 days after that, he goes to Richmond and accepts command of Virginia's armed forces. And there he is basically welcomed as the second coming of George Washington by the Virginians.
So, and then what goes on from there as far as how the inner turmoil goes on?
So the decision that Lee makes to go to war against Washington's Union, one of the amazing things that happens is that it actually destroys, it tears his bonds to the father of his country in these very shockingly personal ways. Now, one of the things first that happens is that Robert E. Lee makes this decision to resign from the U.S. Army at a house called Arlington, and it's that columned mansion that sits on top Arlington Cemetery today. But back then, it wasn't a cemetery. The house had originally been built by Lee's father-in-law, and it was filled with relics of George Washington, china, portraits, furniture that had once been at Mount Vernon, and also actually had slaves who were very much connected to Mount Vernon, so a very sad part of Mount Vernon's legacy as well. So Lee has to leave his house when he goes to Richmond, and one of the very first things that the Union Army does is it crosses the Potomac River, goes up the Arlington Heights, and seizes that high ground. And of course, later in the war, Arlington will be transformed into a cemetery.
And when he looks at this of what is happening, of watching it all unfold, is there a sense of him of betrayal?
Lee's attitude about the whole thing changes as the war goes on, so much so that by the end of the war, when he looks back on what has happened, he no longer necessarily thinks the secession was illegal. So he does pull what we might say in contemporary terms as a flip-flop, and he then begins to explain that maybe the Founding Fathers hadn't been so opposed to secession anyway. That said, he ends up accepting the results of the war, but you can only imagine how tortured he must be inside his own mind. And there's stories about people who see Lee riding around after the war, and he looks to have a look of sadness on his face.
This may come off as an offhanded question, but in just looking at the title of the book, The Man Who Would Not Be Washington, how much do you think he wanted to be Washington? How much do you think there of reverence did he revere what Washington had accomplished?
He had a great deal of reverence for Washington, and it should be added that everybody in that time had a great deal of reverence for Washington. There was very much a cult of Washington. People on both sides of this conflict are going to try to claim Washington for their own. You have secessionists who say George Washington was a revolutionary, so he would have been on our side. And on the other side, you have unionists, of course, who say George Washington created the Union, and he said in his farewell address that you should be Americans above any kind of local allegiance. So Robert E. Lee is hearing this debate, and as I said, in the beginning, he definitely believes that Washington would come down against secession. Now, did he view himself as Washington? No, he never says, I'm George Washington. He never had that kind of pretension about himself.
When you put all this together and you look at it through this lens of what his decision was and how it changed American history, looking through the lens that you present in this book, how important do you think that is in understanding the Civil War and understanding the relationship and the bonds of these two men?
Well, I think if you ask yourself the counterfactual, what would have happened if Robert E. Lee had accepted that offer of command from the emissary for Abraham Lincoln and had fought for the Union? And of course, we can't know what would have happened. But if he had saved the Union, and he was the man to be most closely associated with saving the Union George Washington created, and if that person was someone who was so closely affiliated with George Washington by marriage and by other bonds, we would probably draw great significance from that fact. Instead, of course, the person who we most associate with saving George Washington's legacy, and the person who probably comes off most of our tongues just after we say the name George Washington, is Abraham Lincoln, who was born without a single connection to George Washington, and that's a very powerful symbol for our country.
It's a fascinating book. Is The Man Who Would Not Be Washington, Robert E. Lee's Civil War and His Decision That Changed American History. The book is published by Scribner. Jonathan Horn, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, The Man Who Would Not Be Washington, by Jonathan Horn, published by Scribner. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.